Blog Talk Radio.
The World Premiere Podcast.
That's the attic, man. Yo, that's them kids out of Jersey. Yo, they funny. Yo, they keep it tight real, son. You gotta check them out. Wednesday night, Block Talk Radio. Yo, they funny. It's Wednesday night, and welcome to the premiere podcast, The Attic. Co-producer. Oh, this joker be locking it up. Messenger.
He real tight with God.
Baby girl.
Oh, she got facts on facts.
Baby bro.
He funny.
Nurse Carmen. She be keeping it real. And Sister Tippy.
Got all research on lock.
Sit back and let us entertain you for the next 60 minutes.
To the attic. Welcome each and every one. Let's get this show started. Hello, we here?
Hello.
Mm-hmm. We are here.
All right.
I guess, bruh.
Okay, well, since we're here, let's get the show started. What we're going to do is we're gonna hit a topic tonight to find out just how we all feel and what we think we should do. When you have fame and money, do you think you should leave your hood?
I think you almost have to.
Okay. Why do you think that?
Just because of the fact that you have it, you almost can't really stay in those same surroundings.
That makes sense.
Y'all need a new DJ, I'm your man. A minor challenge. Run alcoholic, been sober 5 hours. Oh, no.
Hey, what's going on, audience?
Well, not now, he here. He in my head, now he here.
He's back.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. All my audio just left.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all need a new DJ? Well, I'm your man. Hey, how are you doing, podcast on this? And I thank you for, who's that with the
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
It's the Nurse Carmen.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, sorry about that, y'all. Again, my audio is just left, but I'm sorry. Where are we right now? We talking about leaving the hood?
Yes,
right.
We are.
I'm sorry. Okay, I just
right.
want to let everybody
You're
know
right.
back.
All right. So baby girl said that she think you need to haul ass. All right. Hey, wait.
I said you almost. I feel like you almost have.
Yes.
You can visit. You can visit, you know, from
right.
time to time, but I don't think you can reside there any longer. Like, your address,
right.
that can't be where you're getting your mail and stuff at anymore. That's
right, right, right.
All right, so does that mean you're losing your blackness
me.
Thing because you got to get out? Does that mean
you're
losing your blackness?
No.
Or your whatever color?
Not at all. Not at all.
What does one
not
have to do with the other? Hello.
What does it have to do with the
yeah.
other? If a
really?
Black man,
we only get
yes,
blackness because we live in a hood.
Exactly.
No, if you are black,
and I think people try to shame. I think people try to shame you and make you feel that way, but not at all.
No.
No, you don't.
If you're a black
right,
person
exactly.
living in the hood, if you're a black person living in the hood, Once you come into money, the first thing you're going to do is move. And again, that's one of the cultural biases. Like, what I mean by that is, if you're white, well, where you live is always nice already. You coming up, you can get a come up and still stay where you are. Therefore, you still rebuilding your neighborhood. But when you black, most of the time, where you live, it don't even take fame to make you want to get out of there. So fame in itself makes you leave, but what happens is it takes away from the neighborhood. Now, I don't know the answer to that, but I would love to say I'm a hit for – I got $10 million and I still live in Patterson. I would love to make that statement, but I'm pretty much not going to. You know what I'm saying? So because where we come from is so underprivileged, and again, that ain't for everybody. We got a whole lot of black folk who grew up in Upper Alpine and Upper Saddle River. We ain't talking about every single black person, but for the majority of them, you come out of the hood hustling, and now you make it for yourself. One of the first things you want to do is leave. And what happens is when you leave, that role model leaves. As opposed to in other neighborhoods, when you become big, you stay there, and you're there as an example for your neighborhood, providing motivation for the people in that neighborhood. So it's a difficult question.
You can still provide motivation. You can still provide
That's
motivation
right.
and still be you know, inspiration and give back. You don't have to necessarily be there
exactly.
to do that. I disagree
as
with that.
Oprah
you can still
and
do
Obama
all those things and not
and
be
Michael
there.
And Michael Jordan and your dude in L.A., they don't live in a hood, but they still giving back. They have
Queen Latifah don't live in Newark, but she's still
right.
giving back.
Big time. Neither does, what's his name? The seven-footer, the basketball player. He giving back to Newark. Big time. He don't live in the hood.
We ain't saying you can't give back, but what I'm saying is when people in your neighborhood get to see you every day, it's more of a positive influence on other black folks. Coming up, that's what
I'm not a millionaire now when you ain't seeing me every day.
Not necessarily. That just gives them an opportunity to rob you.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
You ain't seeing me every day now. You can miss me with that. You ain't seeing me every day now.
Right.
Well, that,
so you really ain't gonna see me if I'm making millions of dollars. So really, seriously, really.
Yes, I believe that. I believe that when you have affluent black Americans who make it big. And again, and understand what I'm saying. The culture right now almost makes you leave. Because if you're the only person in your hood with money, that means everybody in your hood going to have money, and you're not going to have as much. They're going to take your shit. So I'm just
saying, oh, I agree with that.
Yeah,
so I'm not, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not understanding what you're saying. You're saying you have to leave or you need to stay.
No, I'm saying I like you to stay, but the culture of today says you have to leave. That's what I'm
oh,
saying.
No, I agree
like
with that.
Here.
No, I agree
oh,
with that.
Okay.
Exactly.
No, I definitely agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you got to be there, but I'm just saying the culture of today makes you leave because, again, if you're the only rich person in Patterson, you're going to get robbed consistently.
I totally agree with that.
Not only
will
and
you
your get
house
robbed,
get broken into and so on
not
and so on.
That, but,
run.
Not only that,
get
but
out,
every
run,
place
run.
You go. Not only that, but you have to understand also, even if they don't rob you, they'll be at your door 24/7. They need this, the baby, need Pampers. Everything will always be pointed at you, per se. You know what I mean? Everybody, when you're in the neighborhood and they know you got money, they come to you with the sad stories. The same way they come to you with sad stories on when you go through the drive-thru or go to a store or something. And
if they can't come at you, they're going to come for your family. If they can't get at you, then your family is the next victim that they'll come for. Your family is a target also. They're the next best thing if they can't get to you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, again, just to kind of clarify the point here, is it would be nice if you could stay where you grew up. It will, and once again, you ain't got to stay in the same house, but you stay there because, again, when you live in neighborhoods that have positive people in it, that's subliminally you're a role model for other people. But when all of the black folk coming from the hood make it big the first thing they have to do is move. That's something missing from helping better building that neighborhood. That's all I'm saying. But once again, I'll be the first to tell you, if I was rich, yes, Patterson is in my rearview mirror. I'm not living, not even up by, not even the big mansion up by Eastside Park. I'm not living in Patterson. But if I stayed there, if the environment would allow me to stay there, that's just a positive motivation for other inner city people to see that, yeah, man, that shit is possible, man. We can get up out of here.
Well, yeah, because not only that,
do better.
Right, because your presence would help get better roads. They'd have a little better security.
There you go.
With your presence of your money. So that would automatically help change the neighborhood a little bit. But because, as we stated earlier, the environment is so treacherous that you can't even do that. So, we're part of the problem because we want to see those positive role models, but when they're there, we take advantage of them and abuse them and make them get out. Because a lot of people would like to, but it's just not feasible. How long do you think you keep your Rolls Royce in Patterson? Somebody get in there and think they got some keys for it somehow or another. You know what I mean?
We say somebody will get in your car thinking it was theirs.
Thinking it's theirs. They want to go on a joyride with your stuff. You can't even leave town worried about your stuff because that's what's going to happen. But it would be a beautiful thing if we could.
That's my point. That's all. Like I said, I know that right now it's not set up to be that way. But all I'm saying is when you have rich, affluent people in your neighborhood gets better taken care of because it ain't so much about you. I mean, it ain't so much about them, but they take care of you. And because they take care of you, people in your neighborhood. And again, just like, for example, when you look at snow removal. Up in them affluent, and I'm talking something small now, up in them affluent areas, they don't have to worry about that shit. When you go and look at, when the snow falls, you can tell by how the city feels about your neighborhood, by how fast they clean that damn snow up. And that's just little things. If you got the right people in your hood, they going to get on top of that shit. I bet you snow don't get to settle for 10 minutes up and up beside the river. Huh?
Yeah, that's people that got to do shit. People got to do shit up there. See, in the hood, they ain't trying to let people get out there and do shit. Because they doing wrong. So the snow slow them down a little bit.
So what's this?
Do you really want a clear pathway to your house in the hood?
Yes. Hell yeah, man. Stop with that shit, man.
For somebody to round the house with your TV, your flat screen, your boogie board.
Oh,
somebody
man.
Run out the house with your boogie board. See, that snow slow them down.
No,
they got
man.
A clear path. They gone.
But I'm just saying, it would be nice to see them stay in the hood. And again, but reality just simply says that shit can't happen, man. That's what reality says.
You'll be coming home every other day like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas when he thought they was getting ready to make him a made man.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be doing that shit every other day. Oh, shit. They got me. I love black people. I hate niggas. Black people still, but not as much as niggas. When I say black, I mean... niggas, rather. I mean, a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Because people don't really understand sometimes a nigga can be just as white as a snowflake.
Absolutely.
See, that's that slave mentality. Every time you hear nigga, you think we talk about somebody black. Nah, nigga.
Niggas can be all different colors.
Huh? That ain't what that is. Hey, but you know what? So we understand that if you got money, you got to leave. I'm simply saying it would be nice if, again, and it's not going to change in the next day or so, but it would be nice, man, to see black folks who come up who don't have to move out of where they are. I mean, again, maybe I move from East 25th Street to East 40th Street, but hey, we did that, didn't we? Oh, but it's
yeah, you did.
True story.
I didn't mean to mix no truth into that shit, but hey, we ain't good though. Wow. You know what's funny? As I just said that, we talk about coming up. When we lived up on, 41st Street, when we came up from where we was, it's so funny that I used to walk all the way back down to School 13 just to hang out in that neighborhood there. So I guess I got addicted to the street life early in age, but we moved, and I still carried my ass back down to East 25th Street almost every day to hang out, man.
I guess that was the reason for some of the punishments, huh?
Well, most of the punishments, man, was in Warrington, man. You know what I'm saying? If I had an attorney back then, I'd still have moms in court, man. I'm sorry, man, because most of the ass-whippers wasn't with Warrington, man. you know you was a bad kid growing up when you used to get ass-whippers and your parents tell you some shit like, that's because you did some shit I don't know, but I'm going to find out later. And I ain't making that shit up. I ain't making it up. But you know what? Let's spin that right off into our next topic. When I used to walk from East 40th Street down to 25th Street to go hang out at School 13, because that's where my clique was, rest in peace, all my homies, man. Everybody from my original gang, my original clique. I think it was just two of us left. But that brings me to the question now. In today's society, and who do y'all think should be allowed to carry a gun? Now, I ain't talking about with no permit, no shit. I'm just saying, who do you think should be allowed to walk around packing just because they want to pack these days?
He's saying aside from the police, aside from them.
Well,
I don't
even
think,
with some
hey,
of them,
I,
what the,
yeah.
Even some of them niggas don't need guns.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, if you don't take it from everybody, you can take it from them too.
Hey, you know, all I'm saying is, I understand. You know, you got the right to carry arms and all that shit, man. But I think that we ought to revisit that. And again, I think nobody should be allowed to carry weapons, man. You should have rifles. And again, if you're a hunter, don't get me wrong. You don't need no goddamn automatic weapon to hunt. But if you're a hunter, I think hunting rifles should be legal. But handguns and all that shit, I think if you found with a handgun or anything else like that, your ass should go to jail, man. That's what I think.
So that whole thing about protecting and serve, like you're saying, so what should they, so all of that is just, what, some BS, or how should we be protecting ourselves?
You got to think about this. If we regulated guns to the point where nobody had them, what are we protecting from, an ass whooping?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? You get it, like, you know how, like, look, go back to growing up. You got in a beef with somebody, the worst thing you got was a thumping. You come back tomorrow, you might thump some more. But everybody got guns now, man. And I just don't understand that, man. And police are so rotten and crooked that it makes you want to have a gun. And again, not all police, because I got family members as police, but not all police, but most of police are so rotten and crooked that most police departments all over the nation got dirty names, because they've got a few rotten-ass cops sprinkled in there with them. So, therefore, if you got dirty cops or crooked cops, and I'm only talking about 0.5% of police departments, so please don't pull me over as you see me driving in Columbus. So I'm only talking about 0.5% of the police department. But as long as you got people doing the wrong thing with guns, everybody got to have one to protect themselves. But I'm thinking we should revisit that law, and nobody should have a gun. Maybe if we allow police officers That's one thing. But I think no other citizens should be walking around here licensed to carry weapons on them. That's just me.
So I mean, how are you going to deal with these people out here that are just that are dangerous and looking to do bodily harm to other people? Like, how do you choose to deal with them?
If they don't have a gun, hey, welcome. Hold on, let me welcome in a new caller. Hey, welcome in, caller. How you doing today?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm saying if we regulate society to the point where nobody's got guns, well, when people come to do harm against you, then that's like a kind of hand-to-hand type shit. And again, even on your worst day, you still going to get up and walk away. Nobody agree with me on that? Nobody don't believe that everybody should have guns?
No, I don't think they should. I'm not saying that the police officers can't have them. I just think that they shouldn't carry them, because I think those when you carry a gun, it gives you a extra sense of security per se, and make you think you're a badass. And then
I disagree with that. I mean, I'm licensed. I'm registered to carry one, and I don't feel like I'm a badass.
You know, yeah.
Hey,
when the last time you went? Everywhere you went, you carried your gun.
Allowed to carry it, I carry it with me, yeah. And I don't feel like I'm a badass.
It's just a matter of protection. I mean, especially, for example...
That's all it is. It's just to protect me. That's it.
Because think about it. If you didn't have guns, like the brother said before, you basically left with hand-to-hand combat. The problem is, if you're taking on somebody bigger and stronger than you, you're screwed. So a gun is basically an equalizer. That's why we have a Second Amendment for that. I mean, the idea that you want to get rid of your fundamental right, which is defend yourself, that's crazy. Why would you surrender that? Especially when black people
really want to be
able to get guns to defend themselves in the first place.
Are we talking about fundamental rights? Fundamental rights. There are a lot of fundamental rights that we just don't have regardless. So as a black man, we don't have the right to walk down the street without fearing of a police officer taking our lives. We don't have that right.
That's an absolute lie. You're talking about you walk around in fear all the time walking down the street that a cop's going to shoot you?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes, pretty much.
So have you ever been shot by a cop in your entire life?
I stay inside.
See, once again, we're talking as a whole per se, all right? And when I say a whole, I meant as a majority. This is what happens. And because you don't know anyone that didn't get shot, you don't know anybody that got pulled over just for being pulled over. So because you don't know about this, you can't understand it, and you think it might be just a figment of our imagination, I'm here to tell you that it's not. So when you start talking about our rights, and it's our right to have a gun, it's more important that we have a gun than that a person can have health insurance. It's more important that a person can have a gun than a person can have the right to vote. So don't come with the rights.
Health insurance is not a
right.
What are you talking about? How is health insurance a right? Are you going to tell me that food, shelter, and clothing is a right as well that you're supposed to get for free?
If you're living in a rich nation like America, yeah, I say it should be free. You're right, yes. And we talk about Second Amendment.
How can something be for free that requires other people's labor?
Hold on. And when we started talking about this, the first thing I said is we should revisit our Second Amendment rights. Again, that's to be revisited. Okay, because I understand that currently it's one of them bullshit constitutional rights that people wave around. I'm just saying I would like to see that revisited, and nobody is allowed to carry a weapon. And even if we talk about it as an equalizer for what? Because you got into a situation with somebody three times your size, you got to shoot them?
Well, what about if it's a whole group of people that are attacking you?
So
that's when having a gun comes in handy.
So in other words, you think it's better to kill somebody than you take an ass whooping?
No, what I'm saying is that if you have somebody breaking into your house, you have no idea what they're going to do. They might be trying to kill you. If you have a woman there, they might be trying to rape you. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't necessarily have to kill them, but the fact that you have a gun pointing at them will get them to act right. That will keep them from doing whatever they were planning to do in the first place. That's the point.
Shoot to kill.
You don't have to. You can pull a gun on somebody and not shoot them. A lot of times, just aiming a gun at someone will get them to stop what they're about to do.
You mean like the police do when they aim a gun at somebody and they empty the clip and then reload and empty the clip again? Something along those lines.
Okay, let's look at the numbers. Between 1991 and 2011, it's just 20 years.
Hold on, time out.
Okay, now when the numbers come out, now it's a problem. But when you just throw out empty conjecture, it's okay. There we go. All
right.
You think because you throw out bullshit numbers that make it a fact. That doesn't make it a fact because you're just pulling numbers out your ass.
All right. All right. Watch this. I think he's tired for a little while. We had to, like, cut that mic off because, I mean, you can't tell me because you bring me numbers that, well, we don't want to hear what you got to say. No, we're not going to do that. So, again, I'm still taking a position that I think no one should be able to carry a gun. And that's my position.
And the other position, I mean, we can agree to disagree. And the other position is
there are some people
that feel that we should have their right to be able to carry just for our own security that we, you know, we would like to carry.
Right.
We can agree to disagree.
Right, but if you knew that the next person didn't have a gun and nobody had a gun, you still feel that you need to have your gun?
But suppose he has a knife. Suppose he has a knife. You know, he might not necessarily have a gun, but he could still have a weapon. He can have a knife.
And we don't have to retaliate in kind.
You know, so, I mean, it's not my fault if you brought a knife to a gunfight. It's not my fault. Silly rabbit.
Again, people,
not my fault.
Right.
Like I said, it was just a thought for conversation, but I am a firm believer. And again, I got many guns. I have many guns.
Like I said, so do I.
But once again,
I do it because I just need that security.
I would be willing to give up all my guns if nobody carried guns. That's what I'm saying. And we only need that security.
Not so much, bro. Not so much for me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, like I said, that's okay. But I don't think we need to have guns. I think guns cause more problems than they're going to solve. Now, again, just like the caller called in before he started giving me actuary tables and shit. I can see that once again. We just talked about carrying a gun. Having a gun in your house, that's a little different. Because if he come in your house and he's open season, but I'm talking about we walking around. When I was up in Vermont in the military, because they got everybody carry, because everybody concealed, everything. So we at a club, and no shit, I bump into this guy. And I felt that 44 Magnum handle. And I looked at my friend, again, not understanding really where I was at. And I was like, yo, man, be cool. My man over there got a gun on him, man. And my man that I was with said, we all got guns, man. I got one in the car for you.
But you know why, though?
No,
because you know how many incidents there's been where people have come into movie theaters and shot the place up. Or coming, you know, or you walking in a park,
see,
and they begin to, you know, start shooting up the park or whatever. So there's really nowhere that's safe anymore. You can be in a concert and somebody can break out and start shooting. So there really isn't anywhere safe anymore. So that's why a lot of people carry.
If the law was nobody could carry guns, then the shooting in the movie theater wouldn't happen. The shooting in the park wouldn't happen. Again, see, we're looking at this halfway. I'm not saying just some people carry guns. Nobody should have a gun. You get found with a gun in your possession other than a hunting rifle, then you got problems. That's what I'm saying. Now, is that going to stop everybody from carrying? Hell no. Those people who are set on doing crime are going to do crime and break the law anyway. But I think that the murder rate will go down dramatically. I do.
Well, I mean, you still got those people that could be, you know, hunters, and you got some of them that could be twisted, and who's to say what they're going to do with their guns and their rifles? You know what I mean? So who, you know, you got to pick and choose. You don't know. That becomes – that's a thin line. That can be – that gets to be complicated.
Well, again, now, our Second Amendment rights are designed around the rights to bear arms because we didn't have a militia, if I'm not mistaken. Hell, we got militia now. Okay? So what the fuck everybody need weapons for?
Because we're living in a different world now. So, you know, we're living in a mean world. It's a cruel world out there. And a lot of people don't play fair.
But again, but that don't change the, I mean, again, if you made the law nobody could carry, that equalizes it a little bit more, is what I see. That's all I see.
Yeah, that's not going to stop people from not carrying.
Exactly.
No,
it's not going to stop them.
Listen, drugs are illegal. People still do drugs. Cheating on
your
taxes
I'm saying,
is illegal.
You're talking about taking away the guns.
Wait a minute,
so,
man. Cheating on your taxes is illegal. All right, I'll wait
you're
for you.
All right, you're talking about taking away the gun, so what happens if somebody run up on you that got a gun?
Well, now, once again, it might be bad for you there, but the number of times that's going to happen, if nobody's allowed to carry guns legally or illegally, that's going to minimize that, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but sometimes you wind up at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, yeah, well,
that's
going to
happen.
You still keep missing the point because when you failing to hear what he's saying is okay. Nobody got guns. Nobody got guns. Now, yes, one guy might be able to make him a gun or something because he twisted. But that one guy, instead of us having 50,000 murders this year, we might have 5. And we got rid of that guy. You know what I mean? But right now, the way it is, because what we're thinking is, okay, the good people going to get rid of their guns and the bad people going to keep them. What he's saying is nobody got guns, even the bad people. Now, we understand that even with the bad people, somebody going to find a way to get one. But I'd rather see one guy with one than a whole nation with them. And then
That would be ideal.
Right, well,
but, I mean, it's just,
well,
reality?
Well,
we know
it's not reality right now, so we're just speaking about if we could make it reality. That's
I hear you.
How
I mean,
it would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful
over in UK to London, I do believe the police, when they be patrolling, they don't have guns.
They don't have guns. They've got guns at the station, but they don't carry guns.
Oh, yeah. When the situation call for that, then they bring the guns up.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I meant
but
about the cops as well, because...
Right, and look at the rate of people getting shot over in London, man.
Right, and if you don't have that gun on your shoulder, you don't feel extra bad. And you can't tell me that a police officer that spent half his day lifting weights and the other half of his day walking around with a gun does not look at himself to be superior.
Don't forget the steroids.
And that's part of what the problem is. They look at themselves to be superior, and then when they run up on a big black mandingo, they automatically get fear. And so when they get that fear, the first thing they know, shoot.
Cat, 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 cat.
That's all they know.
Yeah.
Now my fear is gone now. So he just killed the person for nothing.
Well, they say they felt threatened.
Right.
Well, see, now, once again, though, if you, again, in a land with no guns, if you feel threatened, then you better hope your hand-to-hand combat skills get your ass about that. And again, even if you have to go against somebody hand-to-hand, the chances of you dying are very slim. The chances of you getting knocked out, well, that's real. You might.
And if I'm at a job
together,
and if I'm at a job where I feel threatened at every day, I'm gonna find me another job. If all these situations always make me feel threatened, I need to find another job.
Wow. That's all I can wait to hold on. That's all I can say to that is, wow. That just makes too much sense.
There are a lot of police officers that go into neighborhoods and they don't feel threatened because they're not trying to look at themselves as being so superior to everybody else. And they try to make friends. and they don't feel threatened. But when it's time that they got to do what they got to do, then they do it. Well, you can't tell me you get these guys right out of high school and out of college, and they become police officers, and they probably know three people of color in their entire life. All they know is the stories that they heard. Their itchy finger, where they walk around like Cedric. They wish a nigga would. That's how they walk around. But if they didn't have that gun, they wouldn't. They try to be a little bit more friendly.
Well, let's check this out then. As we transition, now that we understand that, again, I think nobody should have guns, but let's just say your child is one of those people who now has a gun, and they go out there and empty they clip on somebody. My question would be now is, how far would you go for your kids? And what I mean by that is, if your kid went out there and shot the shit out of somebody because they was out there gangbanging, and you knew, would you turn that ass in, or would you hide the kid and cover the kid? I'm talking about your kid. Talk to me, Cass. How would you feel about that?
My kid, I honestly wouldn't turn my kid in, but I wouldn't hide him. Knowing that they did something along those lines, I wouldn't turn them in. But when they came and got him, I'd try to be there, as far as making sure he got some food and some whatever he need on his books. Because that's where he need to be. If he ain't got no better sense, but my child has no better sense but to walk around shooting people. And I love my child to death. And I would, like I said, I would not turn them in, my child in. But when they came and got her, all I could do is just try to be there as a parent, but I wouldn't try to cover it up. Not a killing.
You mean you wouldn't call me and ask me, you wouldn't call and ask me, can we gas up the soldier G4 and get him out of the country?
Let's say it was something that was accidental, or something, or self-defense or whatever, and it was you could be his alibi.
Right.
Alibi could get him out of going to jail. By your alibi, you can keep him or her out of going to jail. Would you do it?
To be real, it really, like you said, it depends on the situation. If it was an accident, honestly, I think I would. But if my child just deranged and walk around shooting people because they tough and in a gang, I can't do that. My money ain't long enough, and the child, what a person sow, they gonna reap. And trust me, I love my child. I'm not just speaking. I'm just saying overall, if my child went around and I found out that there was a mass killing or something on 12th Ave, and my child was the main culprit of it. I love my child. I talk to my child, but I ain't. What more can I do? You brought that on yourself. I'll try and ease it a little bit, but you brought that on yourself.
Like baby sis said, if your alibi, knowing it's a lie, I said, watch this. Baby bro came in and said, oh, you're lying now. Yeah, if your alibi, knowing it's a lie, will keep that child out of jail, would you give the alibi?
Well, and again, not a mass killing. It was something where he or she did something in self-defense, but your alibi could keep them from being at that scene or could cover them from keep them from going to jail. Would you do it?
Okay. They got it. They got it.
See, now, go ahead, man.
They were sitting right next to me scratching my back. Yeah, they was home.
Anybody else on the panel? Anybody else? I'm curious to see what anybody else has to say.
I have to beg the difference because if I had kids like, who's that in The Color Purple where she told my man he had rotten kids?
Oh, Mister.
Oh, what's her name? Whoopi Goldberg.
Steely.
It was Mister.
Yeah, I mean, if anything push come to shove, look, I have to have a talk with him. Look, little nigga, your ass going to jail, so this is what you need to do. In order to get some money in your commissary, there's a reward out for your ass. Now, it'd be better if I turn you in, that way I can get the reward money and put some money on your book. Because if it don't go down like that, you on your own in prison.
Nurse Carmen?
I got to tell you.
What would you do?
Watch this.
That's a toughie for me. That's a toughie.
Self-defense, and, you know, they were in
your
alibi.
Well, self-defense speaks for itself. If you need an alibi, and it was self-defense, and I could do that, but I can't.
Let me say this
hide
to you.
I can't hide you and lie for you. You done did something wrong.
Let me tell you
That's too much on the soul.
Let me tell you something, Cass. It comes down to, honestly, one question or not. Would you lie or would you not lie? Because let me tell you something, and being for real, if you were lying and say your kid didn't run a red light with a cop, if you were in a car with your kid, and all I'm talking something as simple as running a red light, if you were lying and say he didn't run that red light, then you'll probably lie and say that he was home with you when he was out shooting. A lie is a lie. And again, now, am I wrong? If you lie about a red light, it's the same lie as you said he was home with you when you know he wasn't. So the question really comes down to, will you lie for your kids? If you lie, you will lie. And if you won't, you won't.
I'm not going to lie about a red light. I won't do that.
Okay.
I'll lie about a red light, but I will not lie about no murder.
No.
Really?
Perjury is a
red. I mean, there's a big difference there. A red light and a murder?
Yeah.
I mean, I can get some sleep on a red light. A murder? Not so much.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you will tell that lie for your child, if you will lie for your child, then you will lie for your child, period.
You draw the line on certain things.
You have to draw the line
on certain things. And I think, you know, a murder versus a red light, it's a big difference there.
Right.
Huh? I mean, there
I
is
to
a
get
big
Sister
difference.
Tippy's opinion. Is she still on here? Is Sister Tippy still on the line?
No, she left.
Oh, okay.
No, what I'm saying is if you will lie, you will lie. So, in other words, what you're saying is we have different degrees for which we align.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You only go so far.
Right. Now, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's only so, you know,
okay.
Some people have their limit to how far
right.
they will go.
Right.
But all I'm saying is in the universe, a small lie carries the same penalty as a big lie. A lie is a lie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. But you would feel better with, I mean, again, so the consistency is I could sleep at night knowing that I lied and said my son didn't run a red light, but I couldn't sleep at night if I lied and said my son didn't shoot somebody or my daughter.
Right.
I think
most folks could live with themselves better with that red light, better than they could trying to cover up a murder. Most people could get some sleep on a red light. What do you think?
Uh-huh. The truth of the matter is, a lie is a lie. There are no degrees of lying, is there?
No, there isn't. But I'm saying most people can get some rest on a red light.
All
right. I mean, red light, green light. You can get some rest on a red light, green light, can't you?
No, I would be more apt to say, I know more people who would say, I'm not going to lie for you on that red light. Because that red light might get you a ticket, maybe a night in jail. But that body, that's forever. So I'd be more apt to lie so that you don't spend the rest of your life in jail. I'm just looking at it from another perspective.
Well, and I hear you from that perspective, and that's why I said it depends. Now, if my child shot up 3 or 4 people, that lets me know 3 or 4 more people going to get shot up sooner or later by my child. Because it wasn't a one-time thing. If you can shoot 3 or 4 people, you ain't stopping. And so
you got an issue. There's some problems.
Right.
You can also get caught up in
this
shit. Because the people that he shot,
that brings
people
me
can
into
come back
it.
For
right.
revenge. And you could be standing right there and catch a bullet. Because the bullet ain't got nobody.
And not only that, that child needs to answer for that. If you took a life, you need to answer for that.
Yeah, ass whipping just ain't.
You know,
do.
You took somebody's child, you took somebody's mother, sister, brother, and unfortunately, you're going to have to answer for that.
Well, again,
that's how I look at that. It hurts me to my heart that I'm going to have to lose you. But by the same token, you took a life from somebody else. You took that person's mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, niece, somebody you took from somebody else. So you're going to have to answer for that. You just are. You're going to have to answer for it.
Okay. I mean, and again, that's one of the great dynamics about the addict. We're not one of those podcasts where everybody agrees on what the subject matter is, man, and it's good to have that type of diversity as we go from topic to topic. But speaking of diversity,
I'm saying that now, but I ain't got no kids either. So, see, it's easy for me to say that because I ain't got no kids.
Exactly. Okay. If I had a child and he robbed the bank, you know what I'm saying? I might dime that nigga out because he ain't cut me in.
You ain't got no kids either. You ain't got no kids either, so it's easy for you to say that.
I'm saying, yeah, I know. See, well, you ain't got
so
no kids.
So if he cut you in and he gave you, if he gave you 50% off the top, he all right?
Yeah, I ain't seen him.
I ain't seen him.
As you sit there having your whole rebottled with all that stolen bank money, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yeah, nah, see, with that, you got to sit on that money. You can't spend it right away because then they'll notice that. Once again, go back to Goodfellas. They took that $5 million from the airport. What did my man say? Don't go out there and spend it stupid. They showing up with fur coats and Cadillacs, and that's how the FBI got on them.
Hey, but let's, you know what? I got an interesting story I want to put on the... Who's that?
Okay, sounds like we lost him again.
No.
In fact, I was just trying to figure out where it was so I could quiet it.
Okay.
The last conversation piece for today is I was reading an article. We're going to talk about some NBA shit for a minute. I was reading an article that Kyle Korver for the who's he play for? Utah, right?
Yeah, Utah Jazz.
Yeah. Utah Jazz, man. He had a pretty strong article out there talking about white privilege. And let me tell you, when we talk about white privilege, when it's coming from a white person, for some reason, people can really hear that so much better. And there was a situation up in Utah where one of his teammates got kind of, I think, hassled around. And he came out very boldly to say, if that had been him, that situation would not have happened like that. Did anybody read that?
Yes, I did see something about that. He wrote an essay about it. He wrote an essay addressing race relations in America from the white perspective, and being an NBA player, a white NBA player.
Uh-huh.
I think he called the piece. He titled it "Privileged."
Right. Yes.
And it was really interesting. He was talking about how he talked about being a white man, and he has to hold himself and other fellow white men more accountable for their actions, and how actually we all should be held more accountable for each other's actions. It was just the fact, you know, it was just refreshing to see, you know, a white man stand up and, you know, and speak on that. And I just, like I said, I just found it refreshing, and I was just happy to see someone white stand up and finally say that, especially somebody in the NBA like that, you know, because especially after seeing how they did, you know, Kaepernick in the NFL, but you won't see that in the NBA. They're more accepting, you know, of things like people standing up and speaking up like that. In NFL, not so much.
Well, let me read a little paragraph. Let me read the paragraph out of Kyle's letter he wrote. What I'm realizing is, no matter how passionately I commit to being an ally, And no matter how unwavering my support for NBA and WNBA players of color, I'm still in the conversation from the privileged perspective of opting into it, he wrote, which of course means that on the flip side, I could just as easily opt out of it. Every day I'm given the choice. I'm granted that privilege based on the color of my skin. Now, again, that's pretty powerful. And again, it's moments like that in miscegenation, for lack of a better way to put it, that lets me know that one day it's possible all this unequal shit in America. Not today, folks. I'm sorry, can't deliver that today. But one day I could see us being the true home of the brave, land of the free. We're not even close to that shit today. But a lot of players like, you know, the GOAT, LeBron James, really, you know, a lot of players, you see, I had to get that GOAT in there real quick. But a lot of players from the NBA appreciate that shit, man, because as we said in many of our other podcasts, when you have the color of privilege, that's not something you ask for. It's not something you have to even do anything to enjoy. You just automatically get that. So when you get that and it comes to you so freely, you don't understand what not having that really means to somebody.
I agree 100%. That was part of the reason the caller earlier was so easy to talk about rights and amendments and this and that, because he doesn't truly understand what people of color, and not just black people, or even even for lack of a better word, and please forgive me, what they consider white trash. White trash even has privilege over people of color.
Thank you.
And you know what? It's sad. It's real sad. It ain't going no damn place. It really ain't. And it's something we, again, as a black American, or not even as a person of color, that's just some shit, and it's fucked up that we have to do it. That's just some shit that you have to learn to adjust to early in life. That there's going to be people of different color skin that get privileges solely based on their skin color that you will never be allowed to enjoy.
Just the fact that he spoke up, you know, like I said, that was, like you said, it gives you hope. Because that's definitely a step in the right direction. Because to say to remain silent is just that's unacceptable. They can't continue to keep doing that. You got to start speaking up. So
yes,
you know, if he do it, you know, maybe we can get the rest of them to start doing it. Because that just remaining, you know, it's wrong, and just standing back and saying nothing. That's crazy. That's got to stop.
Well,
so just to have him stand up and speak up on it, I thought that was definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, that was definitely a step in the right direction. But you know what? Now, again, you have to try to look at this from whoever that is in the background. I keep hearing something. I can't.
Somebody airing or something, or somebody doing something. It's very
annoying. Yeah, if you could stop that, I'd appreciate it. Whoever that is.
Who is that, by the way?
I don't know. But
no, I want them to say who they are.
They're not going to say who they are. You making noise in the background of the show. But anyway,
I figure they'd be honest, listen. But all right.
Okay. But anyway, all I'm saying is it's hard for people who have that privilege, who didn't ask for it, who didn't do anything to – in other words, they have to take action not to be considered privileged when it's just so much easier to just go with the flow. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get mad at people of color for not speaking out in the manner Carl Korver did. And again, we all should, but you have to take action to take away something that you were given, as opposed to taking no action and just enjoying it. I understand why they don't more often. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. But I'm saying, but I applaud this man for doing that for that very reason, because of the fact that it was given to you so freely and you didn't have to do anything to get it. So, you know, kudos to you for stepping up because of that very, for that very reason. For that very reason, because you didn't have to, because you didn't have to. And you still was given that privilege. So that's what I'm saying. That's a beautiful thing, and I applaud that. And it was a step in the right direction, because to remain silent is that's crazy. It can't go on, and that's the problem. Everybody is remaining silent because, like you said, why would they say anything? They're being given this privilege for doing absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah, and you're right. And my point there was, I don't get upset. Excuse me, with those who enjoy that privilege because they can just enjoy it. I don't get upset at them because they don't stand up and speak out in the manner.
But I do. And I'm going to tell you why. Because even growing up, when I saw somebody being picked on, you know, I would intervene and tell somebody, stop doing that. As kids growing up, when you saw something that wasn't right, and this is the way that I was raised, we were raised. You know, you don't do that. That's wrong. That's not right. You would speak up and say something. And so to me, when you see something that's an injustice or something that's not right, you speak up and you say something, even if it wasn't affecting me. But if I saw somebody being picked on or somebody that wasn't being treated right, I said something. So to me, the same thing applies here. You see people that are not being treated right, you say something.
Well, I mean, again, that's the right thing to do. That's definitely the right thing to do. I just understand that people don't do it. That's all. But let me ask you this.
Well, I mean, until somebody starts speaking up and doing something, this is nonsense that's going on. This is why we've got this nonsense.
Well, let me ask.
But again, I applaud this guy. I thought it was definitely a step in the right direction.
All right, let me spin that off into another question, and that is, and we've only got 2 minutes, so give me your comments quick. Can somebody white teach you black history? What's the matter, huh? That's the question. Can I learn black history from a white person?
I would say yeah.
I would say, don't clam up on me now.
I would say, yeah, they can teach you. We can learn something from everybody.
Really?
Yeah, they can teach you black history. There are some that probably know more about it, really know more about it than I do. So, yeah, they can. They can't tell me about a black experience, but they can tell me black history.
Wow.
Because history ain't nothing but history.
This is the second time this show you get a wow. I like that. You can teach me black history, but you can't tell me shit about a black experience.
Right. All right. Because they don't know it. They haven't lived it.
Gosh.
Right, but facts are facts. So you can repeat facts to me. Yeah, if you know them.
But watch this. We've already been repeating.
But wouldn't you want somebody to teach you something that could be related to them? I mean, relatable. Wouldn't you want? You know what I mean? Don't you learn better from somebody that you can relate to?
It depends on what we're talking about.
Black history.
Exactly. Black history.
It depends on what kind of black history we're talking about. It depends. But there's some facts.
Right.
They could read about just like you and I can read about.
They can teach you about Christopher Columbus discovering America. They can teach us that, but they can't teach us that his ass would have never got here if it wasn't for the two black navigators that got him here. See, that's the little shit that I'm talking about. Yeah, you can teach me
facts. Right, but there are some that know the bullshit behind it and teach the straight up truth. But there are some that don't and don't even care. It's just that's what's in the book. But it's some of them that actually experienced what some of them was doing, and so they can tell it from a different story. There are a lot of white people in Los Angeles that can tell you a lot of good about the Black Panther.
Right.
Because they've seen what type of work they did. But the rest of them think the Black Panther was a gang, was the extinction of the Bloods and the Crips, which just so happened to be true. But anyway, they broke off from that. But the Black the Black Panther started out as a community organizer. There was the Black Panther was a baby Barack Obama.
All right, here we go,
so you
folks.
Would
that
be
brings
okay
us to the end of our podcast.
So you would be okay
us,
with somebody Asian teaching you how
to
make a pizza?
Of our podcast.
I guess.
That brings us to the
if they know how to make one.
Hey, yo, our time is up. Addict is done for the night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.